The 2012 London Olympics kicked off this week, but cultural events celebrating the Games have been going on for some time. The London Festival 2012 is a culmination of a four-year cultural Olympiad. Earlier this week, Simon Rattle conducted the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra and the London Symphony Orchestra in a program featuring Rachmaninoff's symphonic dances and Wynton Marsalis playing his swing symphony. Sir Simon, he's a knight of the realm, has made scores of recordings and garnered awards and international acclaim, placing him among the most well-known classical musicians in the world. Now WRTI's Susan Lewis profiles the English music director of the Berlin Philharmonic, a conductor with a long-standing relationship with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Simon Rattle is as passionate about music as any athletic icon is about sports, about its intrinsic value and its ability to change lives. If the culture has not embraced music with equal ardor, perhaps we've been going about it the wrong way, he says.
If you were going to teach someone to play football, you'd give them a ball. You know, tennis, you'd give them a racket. But music, you'd say, listen to this. And we just seem to be missing the point that actually kids have to play. They have to do it themselves. You know, it's not, music is not a virtual activity.
In Rattle's experience, music and children are a natural fit. Maybe because Simon Rattle, for all his achievements, is still a kid at heart.
Look, I think so many of the most wonderful musicians I know in all types of music are still very in touch with their inner child. And if you lose the joy and the curiosity and the wonder of this, you've had it.
Music, says Rattle, can be about many things and tells many stories. But its essence
is joy. It's not always joyful, but it comes from a deep wellspring of joy.
Rattle's own passion for music started early. Born in Liverpool in 1955 to parents who both loved music, Rattle grew up listening to his father play the music of Gershwin and other jazz tunes on the piano. Rattle got a drum set at four. By seven, he was reading scores his older sister had brought home. He recalls performing regular Sunday concerts for his family, accompanying live recordings.
I bet the neighbors remember it as well. They must have all these percussion instruments there.
By eight or nine, he was attending concerts at the Liverpool Philharmonic, and he soon caught the conducting bug from Gustav Mahler.
There was really one occasion. It was the Mahler Second Symphony when I was about 10 or 11. And hearing that for the first time. And I still think that performance is tattooed on my DNA somewhere. I will never forget it as long as I live. And I know that at that moment I thought, no, I want to be in the middle of this.
Rattle played piano, percussion, and violin, but he beat a path to the podium. At 16, he entered London's Royal Academy of Music. At 19, he became assistant conductor of the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, and at 22, the assistant conductor of the Liverpool Philharmonic. Rattle spent 18 years at the Birmingham Symphony Orchestra, where at 25, he became principal conductor, and in 1990, at 35, was appointed music director. In 2002, Rattle assumed his present position as principal conductor of the Berlin Philharmonic. Conducting, says Rattle, has always been addictive.
You're somehow in the middle of all this energy. You're not making it happen, but an enormous amount of the energy from the composer and the musicians is channeled through you. But well, the job is to enable people to give their best and see whether you can really tell the story. It's one of the great jobs in the world. I mean, maybe it's one of the great fake professions because you don't make your own sound. Without the musicians, I'm just a rather irritating piece of dust. But with the musicians, you can do something.
With musicians like Philadelphia Orchestra cellist Udi Bardavid, who says Rattle has a charisma and an ability to excite.
It's the shaping of ideas, his ability to create colors, is really superb. And it's interesting because he does it with very basic conducting. He doesn't have any special conducting virtuosity that he tries to impose.
Besides the Philadelphia Orchestra, Rattle has also conducted the Curtis Symphony and the Children of Philadelphia's El Sistema-inspired ensemble, Play on Philly, whose founder, Stanford Thompson, played under Rattle at Curtis.
It was never about being we call them stick technicians, those that can give time really well. But there was something about him allowing the orchestra to be the orchestra.
Choosing collaboration over command and control, sometimes in the midst of a performance, this energetic conductor will stand still in front of the orchestra, listening and watching.
Sometimes it can literally be in his eyes getting a little bit bigger. Sometimes it will be a smile. He's got a great smile. And that can just change the entire mood.
I'm trying to persuade them to take it on themselves. You know, what people who aren't involved every day in music don't realize is that there are hundreds of different ways to approach a symphony. And there are countless ways of phrasing in every bar. I want the mass energy of all these fantastic musicians. I don't want them just to reflect what maybe I have in mind, because that's one person's idea. The energy of more people working as a team is so important.
There's something personal that happens in his communication with orchestra. He's a master of that. It's almost the one-on-one. You really feel the connection. There's a chemistry. And he has good chemistry with Philadelphia Orchestra.
It was never difficult with this orchestra. And we just made a connection all immediately. And that's really lasted. It's so funny because often you don't know the superficial things about people in an orchestra, particularly if you're not with them every day. But often you know very profound things about the people. Very often we are showing the most vulnerable and emotional parts of ourselves on stage. You try to key into that.
And playing under Rattle's baton can be profound, says Anthony McGill, principal clarinet of the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra.
Rattle just changed my life. Yeah, I was unbelievable. You have some experiences that are so vibrant, you feel like you're so present in a moment that can never be taken away from you. It's like I carry it around with me. It didn't just disappear after we played the final note. It actually changed who I am as a musician.
Over his more than 35-year career, Rattle's repertoire has ranged from Baroque to 21st century music, and he seems to relish it all.
Haydn was always a complete passion of mine, and seemed to be one of the easiest things to get into. Mozart and Beethoven were much harder for me. Haydn was like, I was like kind of falling off a log. It was as though he was speaking directly, and I don't know why, because a lot of conductors find that very difficult. In the second part of my life, I find myself so close to Schumann, whereas I never was as a kid. Schumann was a manic depressive. It's the most impatient composer there's ever been. And the manic part of his life was he couldn't write at all when he was depressed. So nobody wrote music faster, not even Mozart, because he had long periods where he couldn't write anything. This symphony, he wrote the first movement in 3 days, and by the end of the first week, it was all orchestrated. And it's hardly physically possible to write down the notes in that time.
Rattle explores the lives behind the notes because, he says, everything a musician or composer experiences goes into the music.
You can so easily fall back on cliches of, I mean, it really helps for me to think of Brahms in his early 20s traveling around with a gypsy violinist, or Brahms aged 12 playing piano in a brothel. No wonder he was screwed up. But, you know, you need to remember that as well. You need everything about them.
His curiosity about life is evident in his musical explorations. In Berlin, he started doing late-night concerts of contemporary music that have audiences laughing out loud.
We did these hilarious Ligeti pieces called New Adventures, in which there are three singers and seven players. But the three singers make this extraordinary drama, but they don't use any language apart from nonsense syllables. And, you know, they are kind of belching and screaming. But we had an audience, I mean, just simply crying with laughter and, you know, stamping and cheering at the end.
Classical music audiences in giddy convulsions? Why not, says Rattle.
I believe with every bit of my being that this is for everybody. You know, this is not an elite art form. And the danger is that it becomes some kind of luxury item or some kind of status symbol. And everybody should at least have the chance to hear it, because it enriches people's lives so extraordinarily.
Seeing music as integral to a larger life experience also informs Rattle's approach to the podium. His advice to aspiring conductors?
Well, I think the first thing I'd say is what Brahms said to young musicians. He'd practice 1 hour less every day and read one more good book, which is the most wonderful thing. Read everything, experience everything, live, be. Conducting is not about beating time, it's not about authority, it's about being somebody. So I would say the human side of it is more important than anything.
Perhaps it all goes back to the idea of music transcending social, economic, and educational status. Despite those who might regard him as classical music royalty, Simon Rattle does not want to be a high priest of the art form, but rather an evangelist, one of life's fellow travelers who rallies us all to share the joy.
WRTI, Susan Lewis.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.